Hello there, and welcome to episode 73 of the Hot Toy Cast, the action figure podcast for high-end humans, where we discuss all things high-end action figures for the likes of Hot Toys, Sideshow, Collectibles, Mondo, and now we got In-Arts. So we've got the first In-Arts review on this podcast into the In-Arts. We got Gandalf. Imagine Gandalf, so we're going to discuss that. But with me today, I am joined by one Michael Cumberbatch Crawford. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great.
And we're also joined by Jeffrey Winsdale Parker. How are you doing, Jeffrey?
I'd see myself as more of a stinking bishop, but as a cheese reference, that's probably lost on most of the population, unless you're a cheese aficionado in the UK. But I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good, good. My name is Eamon Manchego O'Donoghue, and I'm just grand. That's me. I don't like cheese. I asked Eddie all for the poshest cheeses, so you can just slap me in the middle there. A Manchego. I've never even heard of Manchego. But had man in there, so I was like, I'm
in. Manchego's great. It's a sheep's ewe's milk cheese. It's lovely.
Ooh.
A real nutty kind of flavour, but it's got that real sheepy, goaty kind of taste. If you like that.
If you like that sheepy, goaty.
They use it for one of the Bob's Burgers recipes. So, yeah, I've used it for that. Can't get much more high class than that.
No, you can't. I mean, I would try it on a Bob's
strange
Burger.
Strange, green, waxy rind. You can't eat, but it's very nice.
Well, there we go. That's our guest today. So today we're going to cover Hot Toy C-3PO, Super Battle Droid, Reva, Valkyrie from Thor Love and Thunder. As we said, In-Art Gandalf, our first In-Arts review here in this podcast, Exo-6 Kira, 3-0 Rick Grimes, and we're going to cover Mondo Beastman as well, because I never actually got on to actually discussing that at all. So we're going to discuss Mondo Beastman. But like we always do here on the Hot Toy Cast, we're going to start off with new releases. And we got a few new releases. Now we won't go too far back, but I don't think we discussed the actual Han Solo, the new Han Solo, did we? We got a new Return of Jedi Han Solo. So it's a Han Solo in trench coat, which, let's face it, was everyone's favorite Kenner action figure back in the day, was it not? Was Han Solo trench coat not like the best of the figures from the Kenner back in the day?
He was high up there, but for me, it was the original Star Wars. It was original A New Hope. Uh-huh. That Han, I had the small head version, and he was my hero figure.
There you go. I remember seeing the big head version as a kid, and I was like, what the hell is this? I couldn't get over the size of the thing at all. How did I manage to get there with that? But yeah, so this is Han Solo, and to be honest, I quite like the look of this. I mean, I'm very happy with my New Hope Han Solo. I'm quite happy with that. Yeah, we could probably get a more contemporary modern head sculpt on it, but I'm quite happy with it. I say I'm quite happy. One topic we're going to discuss about here is pleather. Pleather. Oh, who's doggy? Who's got the dog?
Oh, I have doggies out.
You got the doggies out. One thing we're going to discuss is the pleather, because I've had my Han Solo, A New Hope one, for years now, and it was perfect. I moved into this new home, and within like a couple of days, his boots started flaking on me. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I'm having to go through all my other figures. So it encouraged me to go through all my other figures. And to my horror and shock, quite a few of them who have pleather have just disintegrated. So, you know, Indiana Jones's belts and gun holster just disintegrate, just gone, forget it. I'm in a new apartment. We've got the different heating system, whether it's dried out everything, I don't know, whether it's added moisture to something, I don't know. All I know is my figures are perfect. I moved into here, and all of a sudden anything that was pleathery just starts disintegrating. My Hot Toys Crow started, the jacket started disintegrating on me. I was like, oh my god. So I went off, and I'll review it next week. We're supposed to have it for this week. Is the Sideshow Crow. Now, I get by the Sideshow Crow not having a clue. I could actually not get a definitive answer on the website whether that jacket was leather or not. Is that Sideshow Crow going to be pleather again?
I honestly think if a company ever makes something actually out of leather, they are going to sing about it very loudly. I mean, one of the very few figures I have that is completely leather is the quarter scale Enter Bay first Arnie they did, the T-800.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that came with, and they really sang the whole fact that it was in this Italian soft calves leather that they'd used for it. That was a massive selling point. I think unless you are seeing it writ large that it is leather, it's going to be pleather. It's going to be, you know,
yeah, I guess you're right. You're dead right there, actually. You're dead right. The thing is, man, it's like the jacket that came with the Wolverine, the Hot Toys Wolverine, that was leather. Little brown jacket with Wolverine, that's actually leather. It's, well, it smells
like, really?
Yeah, it smells like leather. You can smell it. It smells like leather. and it's got it's stiffy.
I didn't know that.
And it's weighty. No, someone, any listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that was actually a leather jacket for the Hot Toys Wolverine there. So,
well, I'd pretty much guarantee, if you go on the Hot Toys website or even the Sideshow website, I'm sure it's out, you know, it'll be you can't even waitlist it anymore, but I'm sure that it would be in the description if it was leather, because it's like I said, it's a selling point, isn't it? You know, it's very rarely
I'll actually look that up while someone else is talking. So, but leather, anyway, yeah. I was getting on that. I was kind of getting ahead of myself there. So this is the Han Solo from Return of the Jedi. It's in his trench coat. And he's like, you know, he's got that kind of slightly more like, you know, eyes raised, lots of creases in his forehead type of look. They went for that look for this one, which, it's an odd choice to give him this kind of expression. I know it's kind of, it's a good head sculpt. It's a very good head sculpt, but it's just an odd expression to give him. And they did this with the Anakin as well lately as well. An amazing head sculpt, but odd expression.
Yeah, personally, I agree. I really like it. I think it's a really solid head sculpt, much like the Anakin one you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But there is just something a little bit quizzical about it. I mean, I love them. I mean, they're right. How can you put it into words? It's like there are certain poses they're going to look great in, mm-hmm. and there are certain poses they're not going to look so good in, because they don't look angry or determined particularly. They look a bit more sort of quizzical, a bit more kind of like, you know, hey, what's going on? I don't know. It's
a little more bro poses. Hey, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit more bro. Like, hey, man, what do you think, Mike? What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I'm happy with what I've got at this point. I don't need another Han.
Yeah.
He doesn't wow me.
Unless it was Empire.
Yeah, I think everyone is gagging for an Empire Han Solo. Everyone's gagging.
Well, I think everybody's really hoping Hot Toys eventually get around to Hoth. But yeah, especially the kind of Bespin outfits as well.
We need a Hot Toys Tauntaun, dude. We're all dying for a Hot Toys Tauntaun. Okay, so we're going to skip a little bit forward, and we're going to go a little bit jump forward. Now, Hot Toys have started doing more comic book accurate figures now, and their first one out the gate is Magneto. You know, this is based on a comic book, so this is now they don't have to pay a likeness, right?
Well, I think it was Wolverine first, wasn't it?
Sorry, it's Wolverine, but we quickly discussed Wolverine, but they just this one is Magneto, which looks oddly a lot like the Magneto, the Mezco Magneto that I designed a few years back. It's got a lot of similar sort of things in there and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's like. It's nice. I mean, I am a big X-Men fan, and I love Magneto, but oddly enough, I'm not, like, chomping at the bit for this one. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of cool, because it does look like a guy in a superhero suit. It has that kind of look to it, and I think, you know, if that's your kind of jam, then cool. I mean, I don't like the underwear he's wearing and things like that, but I know that's the outfit, and that's that. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'll have to see what this looks like in hand. You know, it's not blowing me away. Mike, where are you with this?
Well, I think it's interesting. I'm not sure that comic book based figures are really something that drive a high price point. Mm. Right? You drive $300 price points by getting super accurate actor likenesses and rooted hair. And you know, super accurate, screen accurate costumes. When you start doing comic book ones, they're going to naturally look a little less detailed and extreme. And so I'm not sure it's different for Hot Toys to step into this sort of area, and I'm not sure how well it's going to go.
I mean, I would for me, the design is the issue here with this one, and I'm not trying to be thingy or anything like that, but honestly, the Mezco design was way cooler than this. It's just bulkier, chunkier. The belt had a nice thing into and stuff like that. This looks like a dude wearing a red jumpsuit with some cool boots, and I just feel it. The suit needed to be more padded. It just needed more design. Yeah. I know the mission statement was, you know, keep it like the silhouette, keep the and like the Mezco figures. The brief from Mezco was keep it looking like the actual character. Don't deviate from, don't change colors or any of these things. But even so, still, I think given it's a, like Mike said, just a 12-inch scale figure, I think this could have warranted a little bit more detail. But I don't know what Jeff, where are you at with that?
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you. I think the trouble with the kind of comic book style is you start straddling that world of what Hasbro can deliver and what Hot Toys can deliver, and it's kind of like, because it's much more simplistic, it's kind of like if you're really into that what if style of the sort of Disney anime series, which Hot Toys have done a few of, then this fits very well within that range of figures as well. It's a bit like when Sideshow did the Clone Wars Anakin, and they've done a few others, haven't they? Obi-Wan and etc. And they look great because, you know, if you're a really big fan of that anime style, the animation style, it's great to have a representation of it. But, like, you know, you were saying there, it's as Mike was saying, you really want that super, if you're paying premium prices, you want that degree of super realism. You want sort of the whole moving eyes thing. You want the really detailed clothing. It's just a very tricky tightrope, I think.
It is. It's a funny one there. I mean, I'm a huge X-Men fan. Side note, Mike, how good is X-Men 97?
I haven't started watching it. I know, blasphemous.
I'm not, it's like, no, you gotta understand, the reason why I'm raving about X-Men 97 is because, as Mike has very adamantly pointed out, we do live in a world where people moan and bitch and all these kinds of things about this and that and the other. But this X-Men 97, I'm not messing about here. This is Mad Max Fury Road level of, in terms of, we haven't seen this in 30 years, you've come on and made something 30 years later and made it feel like it was 30 years ago, but even better. And that's what Mad Max Fury Road was. It was an absolutely better movie than Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Everything was a little bit fucking better again. And it just looked amazing. X-Men 97, it's every... If you are a fan of X-Men, and you're a fan of the X-Men 90s series, I'm not messing about. This is the best thing ever. I was a bit on the fence about the animation. I didn't know how it looked. I thought it looked a bit Archer-like or a little bit bitty. And it's not at all. I don't know, whatever clips they showed, or whatever mood I was in, I started watching this animated series, and like, it's awesome. It's so good. They got all the voice cast back. They got most of the voice cast back. And the animation is just a little bit clearer and fluid, and everything's accurate. Everything stays on model. It's just, and the music is great. It's awesome. And the latest episode was on last Wednesday, and it will blow your mind. It's so good. Get on it. X-Men, 97. Anyway, I digress. Pirates of the Caribbean, Jack Sparrow, Dead Man Tell No Tales. I've got zero interest in Jack Sparrow. I like Jack Sparrow in the first movie, and that is it. Other than that, I don't care for these movies at all. They slightly annoy me because it's like, how can you spend such much movie and have such lovely artistry in a movie and it just be so unentertaining to me? They don't entertain me. You know what I mean? You know, it's just... I'm going to leave you guys discuss about this one. Jeff, take it away. Jack Sparrow. And bearing in mind now, lads, listeners, there's three versions here. There's the Artisan Edition, so that's going to have the real hair. Hot Toys are now doing Artisan Edition, so that says real hair. Am I right? That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you got a deluxe version. I probably get the hat and other extra bits with them and the pure eyes and others. And then just got there's a standard edition. Go talk, Jeff. Go.
Well, I like the like yourself. I like the first film the best. It was diminishing returns. The first three are all pretty good, and then they got steadily worse. But I mean, I have the first two DX figures, and I love them, and I think they both still really stand out well, to be honest.
Is that the one with the big wheel? Is that the one with the big kind of turning?
Yeah, the first one came with a big sort of steering wheel, which I think is the deluxe version this time. And the second one came with like the kind of mast and the shark, and he kind of stood on that, and of course he had a bit of sort of we're not going to say proper rooted hair, but he had some kind of fake hair. Right, whereas the first one was all completely sculpted. So I love both those figures. They're both still in my collection. Most of my DXs I've kept, and for this one I think the artisan version sold out like within a blink of an eye.
Yeah, that was. What are they doing there?
Unless I can potentially pick. Yeah, I'm saying unless
I can. But it's like in art, right? And I'm not going to do that thing where in art they're like the cool new kids in a block. I'm not going to do that thing. But in art, put up their figures and they leave them up for a big long window, and you order it within that window, and then they go make them. What? I'm sorry, but pardon my French, you're going to have to beep this, listeners. What kind of bullshit are they pulling at all by having this figure? And it's like, oh, we're only making an X amount, and here's your little window to get them, even though they're still months away.
The thing is, if you want to go back, it's the same thing with, if you want to mention Beanie Babies, it's kind of like, it's a classic case of creating a face, a fake, rarity. So I suppose the thing is, with Inar, they're a new company. They're a fledgling company. What they're doing is they're putting this thing up for pre-order, and as Mike and we all know, it's kind of like, pre-orders are everything because it gives you a good barometer of how well this thing is going to sell. And then you make a few extra to sell on the aftermarket or to sell to shops, etc. But really, that's your barometer of how well received this thing is. Whereas Hot Toys, they know they're going to sell the other two figures really well. And they're really dipping their toe, I think, in that kind of high-end market. Because, if this is well received, if other
But they've all
versions
been
of
well
the.
received. Wonder Woman sold out in
Yeah,
5 seconds. Didn't Anakin sell it in 5 seconds? And this dude sells it in 5 seconds. Why are they making
Yeah.
things that we've got a 5 second window? Unless, and some of us are at work when these
Well,
things go up. And it's just.
and I think the other thing is that they deliberately never give a edition number, do they? So it's kind of like, again, Hot Toys could potentially decide further down the line to release another 5,000 figures of any given IP, and it would just like, because they know that it's the aftermarket's reflected the fact that they can't lose,
But the
so
aftermarket,
it's
but they, yeah, but they do lose, Jeff, because what good is the aftermarket to them?
I know what. Sorry, I didn't mean the aftermarket. I just mean they see the aftermarket. They see that it's like when they re-released the Iron Man Mark 47, was it, the silver and from Spider-Man. I mean, they obviously had one eye on seeing the stupid prices they were going for on eBay, and just thought, well, there's obviously a massive want for these,
But if there's a massive
so why
want, why
not
would they
just
up
stick
the
another load out?
quantity so they get it? It doesn't make
I
sense
just.
for a company to say, oh, wow, we're looking at the aftermarket. These things are really popular. Let's go make only a limited amount of them again. Even though we
Yeah,
know 500 people want them, but let's just make 100.
but I think that's just business, isn't it? You're in business, you create a thing, you want to sell a thing, you want to sell the maximum amount of units you possibly can. You put what you think to the market is the right amount out because of whatever feedback you've had. But yeah, I know it's like, you might as well throw enough shit at the wall and see which sticks. But it's kind of like, I don't think there's any particular science to it. It's just like trying to test the water and see how this stuff goes.
Yeah, and we don't know how
That's all.
much actual effort and cost is going into that artisan edition,
Yeah.
right? So we don't know that they're actually, how much are they making in margins on the artisan? Is it really worth it to them to make 500 instead of 100 when what they're really trying to do, perhaps, is undermine InArt? Because let's face it, InArt is cutting into
Yeah.
their market. So if you've got a competitor who comes in
Massively.
and starts cutting into your market, you want to
Yeah.
step up, especially when you're the big boy and you have a way more money behind you to be able to maybe take a loss or to extend something, to fight a war against somebody because you have more money to do it.
But why would you fight a war with less bullets? Why would you fight a war with less bullets? In art's
Well,
base, my
you're
point is.
not. You're using what you're doing is
No.
you're using an opportunity to undermine InArt, right? So you're saying, oh, look, we can make these. You'll do it a few times. You'll start making them, and you'll get to a point where that InArt doesn't have the, unless they have the license, they don't have the cachet. And if you can take away that cachet, then people won't necessarily turn to InArt when you're both making the same thing. Look at, they're both making the Batman, right? So InArt directly caught into Hot Toys' profit.
They
Hot
have.
Toys doesn't want that to happen. So they have to find a way to make it less attractive for people to buy InArt and make it more attractive to stick with Hot Toys. And so maybe that's why they're doing the artisan versions. They're not trying to simply do it for profit. They're trying to do it to keep the market with them when the next license comes up that they're both competing for.
Yeah.
And I.
It's almost like shooting a shot across the bows, isn't it? It's kind of like, yeah, okay, you're the new kid on the block. You're doing something that we know people want. We know they want it. We could have done it, but we didn't really want, we wondered if it was going to be cost effective. And here you are doing it. So we're just going to show you we can do it as well if we want to. Let's
One
see
of
how
the
this
things that's
pans out.
also interesting about doing a Jack Sparrow now, because it's not like there's a movie right, next month or something.
No.
What's interesting about doing a Jack Sparrow movie, I think, is something that, sort of what Jeff said, this idea of re-releasing figures, they can look at something and say, everybody and their brother, that cost of that Pirates figure is through the roof. One of the secondary characters.
Yeah.
Like, what's his face?
Oh yeah, the squid face doll. What's his
I'm
name? Yeah.
blanking.
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones. Yes. So Davy Jones is through the roof. Maybe we should re-release Davy Jones and make some of that secondary market money ourselves. Somebody else might say, yeah, but that's just because there's like this handful of people who give a shit, and we're not gonna be able to sell more than 1,000 of them, maybe, if we're lucky. Maybe this is touching on that, saying, well, you know, if we get a bunch of Jack Sparrows out there again, new collectors who don't have one of those old Jack Sparrows, maybe then we can re-release Davy Jones and we'll have more people who want to buy it. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go into trying to make those
You
decisions, I
definitely
suppose.
give me pause for thought there now in thinking of a strategy. Like, because you've kind of corrected me there a little bit now. Because my argument to Jeff was they're saying, like, in arts, we'll put up a pre-order window, and you can get your, you've got a good month to get your order in, and then they will make their deluxe, mad as hell, realistic figures for that amount. I don't understand. You're now saying that Hot Toys aren't doing that because they have a strategy in mind. Basically, is what we're saying here. We're gonna, and like you said, like, I guess maybe to Hot Toys, the profit margins aren't that worth it right now. So yeah, we'll only make a few hundred of these, but we're doing this just to like fire over a barrel where he's gonna say, yeah, look, lads, we can do this crack too if we want to, but we don't want to. Because for me, it's like we're going to get into this later on because I do have Gandalf here, the Inert Gandalf. So let's dip into this later on. Let's carry on with the reviews, but we're going to dip back into this. But who's getting it? Jack Sparrow? Anyone of us getting Jack Sparrow, the new one?
I have myself on the wait list for the Artisan. I have all 10 of the others, and so
Yeah,
there's
likewise,
the
yeah.
yeah the completist in me that would like to have this Jack Sparrow to, you know, say I've got all 11 versions of how, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean figures that Hot Toys have done, but it would have to be the Artisan, and I did not get in there in that 30 seconds that it was available. And so I put myself on the wait list, and if I get, you know, an email about it, there's a chance I'll buy it.
Oh,
Yeah.
good.
I feel the same way. I feel like if somewhere further down the line, because I'm not big on pre-orders, if somewhere further down the line it becomes available through a source that I know and I think, yeah, why not? I'll jump on it. But it's one of those cases where I'm actually very happy with Hot Toys have given me before. And it's, put it this way, if I don't get one, I won't be weeping into my pillow. But if I do get one, I might be thinking, yeah, great, let's have a look at this.
Okay, cool. Well, there you go. That's kind of that's new releases. We've got two more releases to cover quickly, and they're kind of, these are not re-releases again, but they are sort of re-releases because you got an armored Batman again, and we've got two versions of the armored Batman. And I have to say, as someone who owns the previous armored Batman and was very dissatisfied with it, even though it looked the bomb, you couldn't pose it, you couldn't do anything with it. It was just a paperweight, and it was like, really, I'm paying this kind of money for a figure that literally does not move. You couldn't even move his arms up. He couldn't do anything. They have fixed this now with this, and this figure looks great. It comes with a badass base. It's die cast. That's a bit cool. And evidently, he can pose. So that's a big up. I might be in for this one. I think I do. Like, I'm not a big fan of the movies, but I, how could you not love a big armored Batman? And it just looks cool, and it was cool. And how excited were we when BVS was first announced and Zack Snyder showed in Comic-Con the first footage with the single? Oh, it was so awesome. We were so naive. And this I'm all over this one. Who's getting this one? This armored Batman vs Superman, armored Batman version 2. There's a deluxe version that comes with a smashed helmet, and there's a
And
spear
the
and stuff.
spear,
And then there's the other version, which yeah, it doesn't come with that. Who's getting it? Jeff, getting this?
I have the previous unbattle damaged plastic version. It's like you said, I'm not as big into DC as Mike is. I'm really trying to streamline my collection. So like you said, I think it looks great. I like the fact that, the battle damage, you'd really want to go deluxe because I think the battle
Yeah,
damage
absolutely.
is the way to go. I like the fact that he comes with the Kryptonite spear. I like the fact that you can see that he's got moving, although it's only one eye, he's got a moving eye. And it's yeah, it just looks very cool. And the fact it's, it's die cast again, it ups the kind of desirability. But realistically, I'm thinking DC. I'm really trying to streamline. I'm going more and more pure Star Wars these days. I've got a lot of Marvel carriers. Spider-Man is always going to be a favorite, but basically what I'm saying is it's a tricky one. Again, I'm one of these people that's not big on pre-orders. If further down the line, and we're all knowing what's happening to the aftermarket these days, people are just selling stuff at silly prices, I might pick one up, but who knows?
Mike?
No, I have the two previous versions, so I am happy with those, and I do not see the. It's a nice looking figure, but it's another one of these sort of pseudo re-releases that I don't really need to add when there's so many other good things to add.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't mentioned the four that I pre-ordered
What four have you pre-ordered?
recently. Beetlejuice.
Oh,
Oh
but that's
yeah.
Sideshow. That's Sideshow. Oh, so you've. Oh,
Technically
you've.
a sideshow, yeah, but I mean it's still,
No, no. Sorry, sorry, sorry. I forgot. When I go through these new releases stuff, I only look at the Hot Toys section. But hey, yeah,
Well,
I
let's
liked
say
Beetlejuice
and
figure. I liked it.
Pennywise.
Oh, and you got Pennywise.
Yeah,
Oh, is
and
it?
I have to have the other Pennywise. It's the first time we're getting a nice version of the
This is the in-art
6PL
one.
Tim Curry, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that one I really like. I mean, you gotta have that one. You gotta add that to the Pennywise collection. And then
Yeah.
from Hot Toys, Star Wars, Baylan and Shin.
Oh, yeah. They're looking sweet.
I'd like me
Yeah.
some Shin only because she's really hot and she looks cool in her
Well,
armor.
they're both terrific looking figures, and I like them
Yeah.
because, again, I like those B and C characters, something other than, 12 more of the same character on the shelf.
I mean, because I'm a Star Wars knight, it's also nice to have some gray Jedi. I mean, they're bounty
There you go.
hunters. They're not dark. They're not light. They're this kind of new idea. And yeah, the fact they're, for want of a better word, mercenaries, but Jedi,
I hope they
is
do something with
interesting.
that character Shin Hati as well. I do.
Yeah.
I like her because she's very much like my own character, the Gatekeeper, but a little different and stuff. But I really like. If you have a beautiful woman and it's a beautiful figure, I'm kind of going to be a sucker for her. I will just probably get that. I quite like her, to be honest. I just fancy
Yeah.
her, and she's just a lovely looking figure, and her hair is cool, and she looks like the Gatekeeper. So there you go. All right, that's that. Oh yeah, quickly, Anakin. And again, this is an art. This is an artisan one. Was this an artisan one?
No. There might be an artisan version, but no, the regular release is sculpted hair.
Oh, is it sculpted hair? Okay, well,
Yeah.
it's kind of Chase Snips Anakin, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's kind of he's a bit more gentler and is, I mean, it is a fantastically accurate head sculpt. I mean, he's just a little bit like, oh, hurry, ooh. He's a bit like he's it's a bit of, it's just an odd expression again, like Han Solo, but it's a fantastic head sculpt. It looks totally like him in that sequence as well. He's got the
Yeah.
cool Clone Wars armor, and you got the new little additions of a little lightsaber blade that's got little ping pings on it, little pew pew things on him. Oh, and they're
Yeah.
separate attachments. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's nice. The little so that you can attach these kind of deflections, the blaster
Yeah.
deflections on the lightsaber. That's nice. I do like that. I hope that lightsaber lights up well, though. That's the thing. We gotta get those lightsabers.
Yeah.
Right then, kids. Okay, so what we're gonna do is now, boys and girls, is well, I mean, actually, sorry. Who is gonna get that Anakin?
Very tempted. I mean, I think, like you were saying, very scene specific. I think, if you pose him with Ahsoka, the young Ahsoka, they'd look great
They
together.
would, they would, they
It's
would.
going to be a kind of more pensive moment. I don't know how well you'll be able to cross his arms with it, but it's that look, isn't it? It's they're having a conversation. It's kind of
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
he's the mentor, she's the Padawan, and he's giving us some sage advice. It's that kind of look.
And if you get him, you'd have to get little Ahsoka as well to go with him as well.
Yeah.
Mike, this one? You gonna get this one?
No, I don't do a whole lot of prequel figures, and I have one Anakin that is I purchased so he goes nicely with the live action Ahsoka stuff, and
Cool.
the right relatively correct costume and everything. So I'm happy with that one, and I doubt I'll ever buy another adult Anakin ever.
There you go. Okay, well, there you go. That is that. Okay, so right then, we're going to take a little quick commercial break now. We're going to hear a word from our sponsor over at Fanboy Collectibles, and we'll be back with you in a couple of seconds. Looking to find collectible figures at low cost with superior customer service? Fanboy Collectibles is one of the largest retailers of high-end collectibles on the east coast of the USA. Carrying a full array of Hot Toys, Enterbase, Sideshow Collectibles 3A, and all the top manufacturers. Domestic and international packages ship daily, all fully insured with tracking number and securely packed. Getting it to you as quickly is important, but not as important as your collectibles arriving in pristine condition. Are you looking to pre-order an item to guarantee you don't miss it when it's released? Well, Fanboy Collectibles does that too. If you got a question about an item,
give them a call, shoot them an email, or even leave them a message on their Facebook page. Fanboy Collectibles is available full-time to respond to you and to get your items to you as quickly as possible. Anyone can make a sale. Fanboy Collectibles knows the key to being successful is repeat customers. That comes from doing the right thing by you and making customer services their priority. Fanboy Collectibles. For some it's a hobby, to them it's an obsession.
And we're back over there at Follow Troy at Fanboy there. Oh, give me the hookup. There we go. Always give me the hookups. Right. So, speaking of hookups, right, we're going to... What you've all been hooked up with some figures now. So, let's save the in-art one for it towards the end of the conversation. Let's just go quickly review our figures quickly. So, right out the door, we have... Jeff, you have the Hot Toys C-3PO, and this is the Hot Toys C-3PO from Return of the Jedi, and it comes with a little fecker salacious crumb. The little fecker.
It does. Now, this is a weird thing. C-3PO is one of those characters who's essential to Star Wars. You know, he basically bookmarked George Lucas's movies, and he first line in the first movie, last line in the last movie. And as we all know, if you're a devotee of the history of it, you know, the Hidden Fortress was a story that kind of was really influential to George Lucas, hence why we have the name Jedi Jedi Geki, wasn't it? But no, so C-3PO, I love the design of C-3PO. I've always loved it. I also have the Tamashii Nations one, which I absolutely adore. And getting this one made me realize, you know, in certain ways they've improved. It's a really lovely figure. It's die-cast, it's heavy. It poses well, but it poses as well as you would think C-3PO could, because, you know, we're ending up with a guy who's stuck in a virtually immovable suit, but it looks great. I mean, it's got the real difference. If you already have the Tamashii Nations one, which I still absolutely love, and there are certain aspects of it that I think are better than this one, there are certain aspects of this one that I think are better than that, and the main aspect of this one is the weathering, the fact that they've that made him look like he did in Return of the Jedi, the fact that he's got a little bit of sort of dirt and grime, a couple of washes, etc. He's he just looks great. You know, he's like I said, he's heavy. All the pistons work on his arms. They're slightly finer detailed than the Tamashii Nations one. They're not quite as bulky, but it's really is a gnat's ass in it. You know, so it's very fine. There's not a lot of difference. The eyes light up beautifully. Obviously, the big thing he does have over Tamashii is that he comes with another faceplate where his eye has been ripped out. Yay! By Salacious Crumb. And he looks great that way. I sent you some photos earlier that I took, Eamon, so yes, have a look at those. But yeah, it just looks really cool. The one thing I will say, I've got mine on my stand. He comes with a kind of circular stand that looks a bit like a cog. It's got a bit of Jabba's Palace kind of flooring on it. And he does kind of need... His feet are quite small, I'm going to say. They're perfectly scaled, but I do find that without the stand, he can overbalance a bit in any direction unless you get the pose just right, which is not a problem I had with the Tamashii Nations one. That one really does stand really solidly. And the thing I love about the Tamashii Nations one is that no matter what pose you put him in, it just seems to look like Anthony Daniels standing in the outfit. This one I've had to work a little bit more with, but it still looks great. It's got a deeper gold than the Tamashii Nations one. It's more orangey.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other thing is the wires in his abdomen in New Hope, in Empire, they're a bit of a mess, and that's kind of shown in the Tamashii Nations one as well. Whereas in Jedi, he had really well. It looks like he's been through he's had a makeover, and he's been through maintenance, and they've straightened all of his wires up and everything, and that is reflected in this figure as well. If I was going to be a real pedant, which I am, because I love the design of this robot so much, this droid so much, is that there's always a little nodule on his right pectoral.
Yes.
Which is where they fit the restraining bolt. Exactly. And Tamashii Nations has that. In fact, it even comes with a restraining bolt. Now, the fact is, Return of the Jedi, I don't think 3PO was ever fitted with a restraining bolt.
Nope.
So he doesn't need one. But the little nodule isn't there. And it's always there. It's on every outfit. It's on every suit that they've created for 3PO. So that is a little bit of an oversight if you're an absolute pedant like me. But apart from that, it's glorious. It's a lovely heavy figure. The eyes light up beautifully. It's nice that you come with the extra faceplate. It's nice that he comes with Salacious Crumb. If you haven't got the other figure that I was just talking about, the Tamashii one, which is rare as, you know, hen's teeth these days, you can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, I really want this one. I missed out the Tamashii editions on that. I really want this one. But I haven't been able to find it anywhere for a really good price, so I'm going to have to keep an eye, keep an eye for it. The thing is,
Sideshow did a good version a few years back, completely plastic, very lightweight. Again, because I'm such a Star Wars pedant, you know, there are certain things you just... A Stormtrooper, I'm sure you're the same, Amy, you know, being with your Stormtrooper. When you look at a Stormtrooper, you just know if it's right or not.
I do,
And the Sideshow 3PO wasn't right.
It
was lovely. It was a beautiful figure, but it wasn't right. It just didn't... The face, everything was just not there. But I would say this one... is there. It's I love it. It's a great figure.
Cool. Okay. And did you get this one too, Mike? C-3PO? No? Incidentally, folks, Wolverine does indeed have a genuine leather jacket. The Hot Toys Wolverine does indeed have a genuine leather jacket. I don't know, you can tell by the smell.
Which one? Is this the very first one?
The latest Wolverine I got from Days of Future Past. He's got a leather jacket. Not the first one. No, it's the latest Wolverine. He's got the... We reviewed him two episodes gone by. So.
Right.
Yeah. No, he's a lovely figure. But yeah, no, Mike, are you going to get C-3PO from Return of the Jedi? Have you already got the Tamashii Nations one? Mike, have we lost him? We have lost him. Mike,
can you hear me?
There we go. What happened to you, fella?
There he is.
The doggies. We got the doggies again.
Now you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Damn, I think I got knocked off. Hey, so, yeah, I already have the earlier one, so no, I don't really plan on getting this one.
Okay, cool.
But it is a sweet-looking figure.
It's very nice. A little salacious.
I mean, I really like the episode one. No, what was it? Return of the... Attack of the Clones one they did. But... ultimately, yeah, it's not a film I particularly liked, but it did look great, which is what really made me want this one, because I thought, well, they've really knocked it out of the park on that for a figure I'm not actually that interested in. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, if I want to get this one, I need to pick up this myself. Okay, so the next one is another droid, is the Super Battle Droid. Quickly go through this one, Jeff. You've got this.
Oh, this should be a quick one. This is a really simple one. I mean, again, I'm not the biggest fan of Attack of the Clones. In fact, I'd say it's very much one of my least favorite Star Wars ones, but I love robots, I love droids, and it's a really nice representation. The funny thing is, years and years ago, Hasbro did a very nice 12-inch figure of this. He was totally the wrong color, he was all kind of tones of blue, but he was nice. See, legs tend to buckle because they were very thin, but this is a really nice representation. Beautiful coloration on it, all the joints move really nice. He's got a blaster that is attached to his right arm. The fingers all are articulated, the robotic fingers, and it's a very simple droid, but all the joints that he does have move. They're all on either ball jointed or swivel just like a straightforward moving joint, basically. It's a very simple figure to do, I would say, but they've carried it out very well. He's got a light up feature. He's just got this kind of bright red light on his left pec, and it's very nice. It takes 3 AAA batteries, I want to say, so it's going to light up for ages. But yeah, no, it's a nice figure, but it's not an essential figure unless you're really into droids or that particular film, I'd say.
Cool. Okay, and that's that one. Who's got Reva? Have you both got Reva?
I have.
You have as well. All right, then, Mike, you don't have Reva? Mike's gone again. Well, if Mike is dropping off the mic,
I've picked up a few of the Inquisitors. Well, there's only 2 out so far, but seeing Hot Toys' recent announcement about the Dark Side and Inquisitor figures, it looks like they're going to be fleshing those out more. I really like this figure. It's if you have the Grand Inquisitor, he looks great, but they're both very much of the same ilk, I suppose they would be, because of, you know, their jobs. And I know not everybody was as into Obi-Wan. I enjoyed it. It had its faults. It had some major faults, but it was also very entertaining. The thing I do love about this is it's got an amazing head sculpt. I mean, this is such a spot-on head sculpt. It's a shame it was, like, just too early for the to the point where they started really introducing the movable eyes. So her expression can be a little bit, placid's the wrong word, just emotionless.
Yeah.
But it's still an amazing, amazing sculpt. And all the detailing on her hair and her
The braiding looks amazing.
Yeah, it's just it's a really top-class sculpt. It really does capture her likeness. She's wearing all black armor, pretty much. I think parts of her cape on the inside, is that? It's still kind of pretty much black. Oh, and it's a really nice little detail, actually, on the inside of the cape. It's a very tiny version of the Imperial logo, for want of a word. She comes with, she comes with a load of lights. The one I've got her holding at the moment is just the sort of crescent moon version. She also comes with two full moon versions. One is a light up version. I don't tend to use the light up feature very much on lightsabers because it's just too fiddly and I can't be bothered. I don't really use it very often. So she comes with, as I said, two full moon versions. One is light up. She comes up with a crescent moon, and she also has a sort of broken, cut down version. She also has a couple of holographic figures. She comes with one of the other Inquisitors and Obi-Wan. So all in all, again, it's one of those figures that's not essential unless you're really into Obi-Wan and just building up that whole kind of light set of figures. But yeah, I like her a lot.
Cool.
A lot.
He likes it a lot. He likes it a lot. You get that, Mike? He likes it a lot.
He likes it a lot.
He likes it a lot. Okay, right, there you go. So that is
One thing I will mention.
Go on.
One quick thing I will mention that I thought was quite a sweet thing was the majority of Star Wars figures tend to come with pleather boots, and I know everybody's worried about pleather. Her upper sort of torso is pleather, but it feels like it's... Who knows? It feels pretty sturdy, but the boots on this case are all sculpted. But she does have a really nice disguised cut joint at the ankle.
Oh, nice.
So you get a lot of turn and pivot, etc. So, just thought I'd mention that as well.
She's a nice figure. She's a nice figure. And from one nice lady to another, we're going to go straight into Valkyrie, Mike. You have Valkyrie from Thor,
yes.
Love and Thunder. Now, this is an odd one because I remember we all went gaga for Valkyrie from Ragnarok because she has got that kind of white and grey cool Valkyrie outfit that she had. And we saw a teaser that with the great... Tessa Thompson head sculpt. Who doesn't love Tessa Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we saw that lovely head sculpt on her, and we saw that figure, and I was like, "Oh, why?" And we never got that Valkyrie, but they decided not to give us this Valkyrie. And I have to say, it's a little bit of an odd choice why they would deliver this Valkyrie over the other one, because in my opinion, the other one was nicer. It's a cool outfit, and it's kind of the standard Valkyrie.
Yeah, it
outfit.
Is a cool outfit. I mean, I would have preferred the other Valkyrie as well. I don't think we're going to get it now at this point, and we're probably lucky to get any Valkyrie.
Yeah, indeed.
And it is a character that I really wanted to add to the Thor family of figures up there. And I don't need another Thor. I got plenty of those. But to get her to add. And the one thing the costume does have going for it is it does look nice next to the Thor costumes, right? I mean, there's some continuity, excuse me, between the costumes. So that's nice. It's got the cool Thunderbolt. That's pretty cool. Some nice swords. The cape is nice and poseable, and it is a very pretty head sculpt. I actually think it looks better in person than it does in some of the Hot Toys photos on the site, which tended to have a little too much shadowing in the paint job. So I'm really happy with her. She's as poseable as you'd expect her to be in that costume. I'm always amazed at how some of those poses that Sideshow gets on their, you know, Hot Toys gets in their photos. I'm like, what did you do? Did you slit a seam somewhere?
You stretching something you shouldn't stretch.
You know, she looks good simply standing, you know, holding the accessories. It's a nice basic figure, and it adds something to the, you know, it's not like we're getting a lot of Thor characters to add to that particular family of figures. So she was nice to get.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, no, I was looking at her as well. If it's the kind of thing where I was like, oh, if I was really going in the Marvel, but for me now it has to be iconic things. I've got 40 Tofs, that's it, and it's a one-in-one-out policy. And it has
four.
To, Yeah,
four.
I know four. Well, technically five. I have five. Well, technically I've got seven because I've got two here in the bedroom here that are just for my Mondo Masters of the Universe, which we're going to discuss in a sec. And I've just bought a fifth to go up my four Hot Toys Detailed just to house my Enterbase at last. Boys and girls, my Enterbase. I've had Enterbase since Enterbase were, you know, kicking around at the start. And I've had these Enterbase figures for a long ass time, and I've only been able to display them now. And speaking of displays...
Be careful with those Enterbase. I've had a lot of trouble with... I've got two of my Enterbase that have broken ankles. Those bodies on the Enterbase get brittle over time.
No, I know. I had to send away my big Terminator Jeff mentioned earlier with all the leather. I had to send him away to a guy in France to fix the arm for me. And... on the move, my Ghostbuster figures, which we're going to start getting into the kind of complaints territory a little bit now as well, but we're going to start off with the inarts, but I'm just going to quickly cover. I got the Blitzway Ghostbusters, the four pack, the full thing, the special case, and all the rest of it. I moved home and I was simply putting away these figures. These figures had been barely touched in the cubicle, no posing, no nothing. They'd just been standing there holding their guns. I went to take the guns off these guys and undo the buckles. All the buckles snapped. Then I went just to put on their arms. Both arms on both Venkman and Zedmore snapped on me just by moving them. Now, and I tried to contact Blitzway, but of course, you know, they're not going to care. And it really bothers me that they're not going to care, because that's like, I literally was doing nothing. And no one else is going to... Those are the best Ghostbusters. I know there's a couple of third-party ones out that look okay. They're not as nice as these. These are amazing, these Ghostbuster figures. And for two of them to break out of box, it broke my heart. Hopefully, I haven't had checked them out yet now, but I know that... And we're talking both arms on two figures, just by moving them.
Blimey.
Now, that is pathetic. Now, those Ghostbusters were always fragile. The buckles on those things were fragile as hell anyway. Things don't need to be that fragile. So, with that in mind, we're going to go on to in-arts now. We're going to have a little discussion. There's a new kid on the block, boys and girls. The new kid on the block is in-arts. Are they the runaway hit, and are they shaking up the industry in the ways that a lot of, you know, commentators would have us believe out there? Yes and no. I got this Gandalf, and there's a few things with this Gandalf that are not quite a home run. What is a home run is the sculpting, the tailoring, the paint applications, and the hair is exquisite. We are talking definitely something beyond Hot Toys here. We are beyond anything here that we've ever seen before in terms of hair fabrication. This is beyond belief. The head comes in a separate little jar. It's like the whole flipping Futurama thing. It's bizarre. It's weird. But you get it, and I can see why they do it. You can have to futz with the hair once you get it back, but it was beautifully maintained in the thingy. You have to pull the hair down. You take a little panel out the back, and you can move the eyes. It's very easy to move. It's uncanny, the likeness here. It is uncanny. Look at my Instagram or my Facebook, guys, and the pictures are on there. It's absolutely stunning. So what you get with this Gandalf is the box is also slightly smaller than other boxes because it doesn't have a head. So the box is kind of like the head is in a jar. And you get the head in the jar. And what else do you get? What do you get? Loads of hands. Now, what I will say is that the hands are exquisitely well made. The hands are beautifully all painted. There's nicks. There's little bits under the nails. There's all kinds of lovely things with the hands. They're stunning. And what else does he come with? He comes with a fully printed book. And I'm talking about every page has got text in it here. Every page has got text in it. He comes with the envelope to put the ring in. And the little ring to go in the envelope. He comes with the butterfly that has little articulated wings that you can just move up and down. And he comes with he comes with a gripping hand that you could just put you gently place the butterfly into. He comes with what I think is crazy impressive is two of the teeniest little lights you have ever seen in your life. And what is... We're talking about something that's literally the width of the thinnest screw you can get. And it's just like a little pin. And you pull it, you push it together, it lights up. You pull it apart, it lights off. And you... He comes with two little crystals. He comes with one crystal and two lights. One light's red, one light is white. So it's the when he blows on the thingy to light up the dungeon or the cave, that one. And then he's got the red one for fighting off the Balrog, you shall not pass, kind of one. And it's beautifully done. And you just get these little things and you just pop them in top of the staff and they light up perfectly. And I don't know how long these lights are going to last, but they're the teeniest little lights I've ever seen. And I don't know what batches you put in these things. I have no idea. But they're teeny. And we're talking about something that fits in the top of his staff. He comes with two staffs. One is kind of an open that allows the glow in there. And one is closed. He also comes with two sets of fireworks, which, let's face it, no one's going to really be bothered about. He comes with an amazing hat. The hat is absolutely stunning on him. And it fits on him perfectly. And he looks amazing. He comes with it's a fully steel sword. It's stunning. The scabbard is on there. It fits stunning. Everything on this is exquisite. However, we are talking about a figure that is, and I don't care what anyone says, I know what I paid for this. My Gandalf was $515. $515. That's for anyone listening in the UK. That's £413. I have previously made
that's a bejesus amount of money.
That is a bejesus amount of money. Now, granted, Hot Toys are now getting into the 300 camp now as well. But still, people are kind of arguing back, oh, it's only 60 quid. No, it's not. Where are you getting your 60 quid from, guys? I know myself. I bought Gandalf. The Asmus Gandalf was less than £100 cheaper than that. And bearing in mind, the Asmus Gandalf was the best Gandalf we had up till that point. But this, the Asmus Gandalf looks like a caricature compared to this. This thing is it's unbelievable. It is the best figure I've ever gotten in terms of accuracy and screen accuracy. Why I do not call Inarts a home run, but I will commend them for this. A, they're using magnets on the wrists. They are not strong enough. The wrists are infuriating. Yeah, you can slightly pop them in, but they're infuriating. It's about a magnet and a pop-in method that's designed for ease of use. It's not. You can pop them on, but it doesn't really stay good, and the magnet is not at all strong. At all. Very annoying. Two, again, problem with the magnets on the base. You haven't bothered with a cradle or anything like that. So, shit. This guy did fall off on me. Because the batteries on the base were not strong enough. And they're separated. The magnets on the base were not strong enough. You have to place your feet in a very specific fashion. And if you want to do a shall not pass thingy, you're going to risk him falling over. And he did twice on me. Now, for that kind of money, I do not want my figure to be falling over, guys. And you should have been testing this. Where I will give Inarts a pat on the back is that they have fixed this with their Batman release, and they have magnets that slide around inside the base. So you open up the bottom of the base, and you can move the magnets around the side of the base. Genius. That was a really good idea, and from what I understand as well, they're hopefully going to fix the batteries, or the magnets on the wrists as well. But right now, this Gandalf here gets an 8 out of 10 for me because it's downgraded because of the magnets, both on the base. And the base is a vital thing. This is a very expensive figure. And if you're putting your figures in a shelf, you do not want this guy tumbling and smashing on you. Especially when you spent the... What did I spend? $515. And that was that was the pre-order price, boys and girls. That was my pre-order price from 1/6 kit in China. And I always go to 1/6 kit for those for the crazy pre-orders. Because this Gandalf is not for sale in the US, so you can't go to Fanboy Collectibles and get this one. You can't go to Sideshow and get this one. You have to order
this. Have you checked out what kind of price it's going for already, honestly? I just don't know.
I haven't dared to check. No. I dare say it's quite a lot again. Because it is truly exquisite. And I am all in to see what Inarts are doing. But I've got a major caveat here. The prices of these things are getting ridiculous. And that's a thing. What I will say is I spent to get the Batman, as in the Batman. I spent 360 quid to get that as a pre-order. Right? That was 360 English pounds now. So that's we're getting to the $450, 500 margin there, right, already. Right? That's what I spent to get my Hot Toys Battison Batman. I went to the 1/6 kit yesterday, and they have two versions of this Batman. They have the one with the hair, and they've got one with plastic hair. The one with plastic hair is cheaper than the Hot Toys version. And that, for me, I was like, how is that? because I know how much I spent on the Hot Toys version. Now, it could be, you could argue, oh, you probably spent the pre-order price or whatever like that, but I haven't gone to double check how much Batazin is on Sideshow. When someone else is talking, I'll talk about it in a sec, but that's kind of it, that I thought that was interesting, that literally InArts have actually put out a Batman figure that is cheaper and better than the Hot Toys one, and it is better. I'm not saying InArts are shaking up the thingy, because I still think they've got some improvements to make. But we have seen close-ups now of the stitch work, especially in the chest and the armor on both the Hot Toys version and the InArts version of Batazin and Batman. And you can see that the InArts stitching is better. They are doing something finer. The head sculpt is finer again. The argument is, and this is where I'm hoping that Mike will get stuck in on me now, and the argument is like, is this worth it? Is this Gandalf worth, you know, $515? That is the thing. And that is where the argument comes in. My argument is, if you start going past 400 quid an action figure, get out. I'm not doing that. When it came to like I got the Batazin one for cheaper. This is Gandalf, or Lord of the Rings, one of my favorite ever action figures. This is the best Gandalf I could find, and I've also got the Aragorn on. I'm not going to order Superman, because the Hot Toys Superman's fine, and I'm not going to order the other ones, because the other ones are fine. But when I saw the Batazin Batman going for cheaper for InArts, I went for that one, just for the sake of having a comparison time situation. But this Gandalf, it is stunning. It is stunning, stunning, stunning stuff. It is definitely of a higher quality than Hot Toys. It'd want to be, given the price of it, though. That's the thing. Everyone's like, it pisses me off when people start backslapping the company. I know Apple make a better product, but they do charge you for it. I'm not going to slap Apple in that back for flipping giving me a better product when I'm paying way more for it.
The question is, what kind of toy would Hot Toys give you for $515?
Therein lies the argument, Mike. Therein lies the argument. What would Hot Toys give you for this money? Because you look at that rock, that flipping Black Adam rock, that was a very expensive figure. That was a 400-pound figure. That was a very expensive figure, that Hot Toys rock. And that was he didn't come with a whole plethora of things or anything like that, but it was because it was the rock. And, you know, Hot Toys are putting their toes into above the 400 pound mark, or the $500 margin. And I'm just like, I'm getting quite nervous about where the direction of these things are going. But I did find it very, very, very interesting that InArts put out a Batman that was better, but slightly cheaper than the Hot Toys. And I say this not knowing what I pre-ordered it, like you go to China to, because I want them for Christmas, and so I ordered it, kind of went ahead, and you know, when you go for those first batch pre-orders, you do charge, they usually charge about 30 quid more, so even so, you take the 30 quid off, I'm still paying 330 for that Batazin Batman, and he still has a pouch that isn't full with something. There's something missing in the pouch, but evidently it comes with Deluxe. Why you put a pouch in a figure that comes empty, I have no idea, but the InArts one comes with the pouch and it's got something in it, whatever the thingy that goes in there. So I've ordered it, so let's see the next Pod Toycast. But in terms of this, my first InArts figure, I am blown away, but I don't think it's a home run. Mike, talk to me.
Well, I did not buy... all right, so we've got, what, three figures now? Joker?
Yeah.
Gandalf, Pennywise, and Batman. And Gandalf.
Oh, yeah, Pennywise and Gandalf, yes.
So the Batman's just starting to hit.
Yeah.
So I did not buy, the only one of those that really tempted me was the Batman, just because I hadn't bought the Hot Toys one and I don't have that version. You know, I don't have a Patterson Batman, but I did not, unfortunately, when I look at 1/6 kit, I do not see any of them here in the US that I can buy from kit. So
I'll send you a link.
Send me a link, see if I can get to it. Pennywise came out a while ago, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Oh, sorry. I didn't pick up on that.
Thought that it did a while ago.
Probably. I just didn't follow that one. I thought
it was
great.
Yeah. I thought it was, yeah. Joker was first, and then I thought, I could have swore Pennywise. But anyway, I'm happy with the Hot Toys Pennywise. I didn't need to get the, you know, spend $500 on another Pennywise. Yeah. Now, I love the Asmus Gandalf, particularly the Gandalf the White. It is a much improved version over even their Gandalf the Gray. And the other thing is, some of this goes to who are you as a collector? What is your collection? What are you trying to do? So if I'm a collector who's buying one member of the Lord of the Rings Fellowship, Gandalf, and I want that to be like the best Gandalf ever. In art is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a collector who wants the Fellowship,
yeah, that's
I'm now looking at $4,500 at least.
Yeah.
Well, not even just that. You want some orcs and you want some of the female characters.
And on top of it, how do I? Is there any possibility that they're even going to do that? Something tells me we're not going to get the hobbits from in-art. So, no. I did order the Aragorn. And the reason I ordered the Aragorn is nobody's ever done a great Aragorn.
True right? that. That's why I ordered it too, Mike.
You don't have a good Asmus Aragorn. That ACI was mediocre at best. Some of the costumes are great, and a couple of them have great dioramas that I'm going to keep. But they don't have the head sculpt that even goes with that Asmus Gandalf, right? They don't have that same level of quality. So I ordered the Aragorn. And if in-art would do something that we already don't have options with,
Paul Atreides. You know,
The Paul Atreides. I'm this close to pulling the trigger.
I'm similar. Yeah.
If it was a Dune 2 Atreides in that still suit and everything, I would be so far all over that. The only thing I'm worried about is they're going to do a part two, and I'm going to like it better. Right? I'm going to spend the money on the part one version and go, oh, I could have had a part two.
But there is a really good third party version, isn't it?
There is one out there.
Yeah, so, I was tempted by that one. I was like, that'll do.
They did him in his kind of military outfit. Anyway, sorry, I'm digressing.
But if they would do things that I don't already have options for. There are characters that I would gladly, like if they would do the original, you know, a Willy Wonka. there's just no way I wouldn't spend $500 on an excellent Willy Wonka, right? I mean, there's no way I'm ever going to get one from anybody else at that kind of quality. But if they're going to do another Batman, I have so many Batman, I don't need to spend $500 on a Batman.
I'll tell you what license I'd like them to get. I'd like them to get the Terminator.
Well, I was going to say, do you remember back in the day?
Yeah, Terminator would be nice, but what about Blade Runner?
Blade Runner! Oh!
That's another one I'd spend $500 on.
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say, back in the day, do you remember Molecule 8 was showing us those incredible Bowie figures, and they had a great Willy Wonka figure lined up.
Oh, they did,
Then they just fell to shit.
Yep.
They took us for a ride, those guys.
Yeah. So for me, you know, it's like I said, I have the Aragorn on order, and I am millimeters away from buying Paul. Because I really love the movies, and it is a beautiful figure.
Yeah.
But we will, you know, I'd really rather have a Dune 2 Paul, and I don't know how far. That's the thing we don't really know yet with in-art. How far, how deep are they going to go with these licenses that they're picking up? We've got a Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
They've talked about doing another one. Like, that's a character. How do I justify spending $300 or $400 on an 8-inch kid figure?
I know it's very hard to justify.
Just not enough there, right? I mean, it's hard for me to say that little short haircut really justifies needing that quality of rooted hair.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, now if they did Snape, I might bite.
Yeah.
We've never gotten a really great Snape, and that's a character I could see them really nailing the likeness. But it depends kind of on – they've got to just – for me, it's got to be the exactly right figures, because I'm not trying to buy one figure of every license. When I like a line, it's because it's gone deep.
Yeah.
And I can fit out. And so that's not really – it doesn't really match up with my collecting.
The feeling I get from them, looking at what they've released and what they're kind of looking to do in the future, is that I don't think they're going to fill out lines. Personally, I don't think. I'd love to be proved wrong, but I think they're almost like, I know cinema kept back in the days, were they quarter scale or one third scale? I can't remember.
Quarter.
But they basically just they basically just showed you the one figure that they considered to be the kind of like iconic one, didn't they? And that was it.
I mean, I'm personally very cool with I'm that latter person that you are, the former person that you spoke of there, Mike, where I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fans. I don't need to pad it out. My Lord of the Rings will be my two favorite characters, which is Gandalf and Aragorn. And that for me is plenty. I will be happy with just those two. If they do a Legolas and Gimli, I am fucked. Pardon my French. I better beep that. if they do a Legolas and Gimli, I would be hard pressed there, to be honest. But I am very happy with that Aragorn, and I'm actually really, I haven't been that excited by a 1/6 figure in a long time. This Gandalf is the same. I mean, it's they're exquisite. They are truly exquisite, but by Christ, you're paying for it. And yeah, they'd want to be flipping exquisite for that price. But there you go. That's an art. We're going to keep it going on the podcast today. We're going to squeeze two more reviews in, Mike. You're going to get, do you want to do Kira? Who would you prefer, Kira or Rick Grimes? I think you should do Kira.
Kira.
Okay, you're going to do Kira, and I'm going to finish. Yep. We're going to finish out the podcast with the Mondo Beastman. So all go right. ahead. Take
so
it away,
Kira
then,
Mike. Kira, I can't say enough good stuff about X-06. It's just physically not possible. We have 27 figures from them now in 3 years. Just amazing quality. This Kira figure is the third. Well, she was second. Now we already have Odo just shipped this week. And so now we've got three Deep Space Nine figures. She's the costuming, which is where they really go nuts because of their love for this license.
Oh yeah.
Her costume is beautiful. The tailoring is fantastic. That fits this unique female body they're using, where they're swapping out some of the parts to be able to alter hips and breasts so mm-hmm. that they can make one body kind of work for multiple females.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And the head sculpt on this is beautiful.
It really is. It looks like her.
It is dead on her. It is the best female they've done so far. I've liked the other ones, but this one just nails everything about it, from the hair to the even the little Bajoran earring. Now, some people complain that wasn't metal. And let's face it, this is a $200 figure,
yeah,
not a $500 figure.
Relax.
Yeah, you just take a chill pill. And, you know, again, I don't want $500 Star Trek figures. I want 27 Star Trek figures.
Yeah, that's
so,
true. Yeah.
You know, let's be reasonable.
I've said it before and a few times, Mike. There is something very satisfying about buying a much cheaper figure that is quite well made. There is something really satisfying about it.
And she has the usual accessories, multiple hands. She's got the pad. She's mm-hmm. got the tricorder. Her really unique accessory is the Bajoran phaser with the Bajoran holster. That's unique to her so far. Even, you know, Odo didn't have that. So great figure. Again, around a $200 price point. This line, I can't say enough good stuff about this line. This is a line that 20 years from now, people are going to say, wow, I really wish that is a really cool line because of what they've been able to
and
do.
And you're getting every single one, aren't you, Mike? You're pretty much
getting
every single one that X-06 comes. I look forward to seeing your collection there. And to me, this, when are X-06 releasing a Captain Kirk next?
Well, we expect to see the next of the original series characters we would expect to see is from the film.
Okay.
Right?
Khan.
No,
didn't they do
in the red costumes? Yeah. That's what we expect to see. They did the Kirk from the first movie.
Yeah. I'm on two minds. Do I get? I personally am a big huge fan of the original 60s series. I love the original series.
Yep,
I love the yellow jacket, the yellow and blue and all that stuff. And I've got the two original QMX ones that I have, and I'm this close to selling them because X-06 are releasing those two better versions of those, aren't they? With better head sculpts.
Yeah, that's the plan. The original series stuff was pushed more towards the end. They wanted to get some of the stuff from other series. Like, they even got the new Captain Pike from Strange New Worlds already. They've been showing photos of that. And so I would expect we got what? We got nine crew members from Voyager. That's about what I expect to get from every line. We've got a new, we just got the Next Generation Data that they did a couple of weeks ago. So they are cranking it out. I mean, it's hard to.
And they have recently kind of hinted at a Gorn, haven't they?
They've hinted at a Gorn. Yeah. Which would be great.
Very nice. Well,
they're kind of setting the stage for it because they want you to remember that if they're going to make it screen accurate, it's going to look like a dude in a rubber costume.
That's cool.
Well, this is just right. And also,
it's
going
to look like a living, breathing lizard. It's a dude in a rubber costume.
So I always say, you know, Bosk was basically doffing their hat to the Gorn, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
But it's what I would really love. But again, it gives them the chance because they haven't really, so far, as far as I'm aware, done a lot of repeats. They haven't done repaints. They haven't done re-outfits. But, you know, a Kirk with a bloodied face and a torn shirt fighting the Gorn would be, you know, be a good way for them to make a little bit of extra cash from something that's relatively...
strategically torn shirt, Tris. It's a relief little peck he's got there, if you call it a peck. Yeah. Right then, final figure, and it's a Mondo, and it's a He-Man figure. It's a He-Man figure. It's a big, 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 big figure. Right, so up till this point, Mondo, you know, they've been kicking out the figures. We got Teela coming up, Orko's on the way. Absolutely lovely stuff. The last ones we got was Panthor, and it was stunning. Check out my review on YouTube. I've got the Hot Toy Cast YouTube channel. Go to the Hot Toy Cast YouTube channel. I have reviewed Panthor on there, Panthor and Skeletor. Stunning. I've raved about them before. This is Beastman, and as such, he is massive. Massive! I would actually argue he's slightly too big. His proportions are insane, and he weighs a ton, and he's just a bit unwieldy, to be honest. But he is incredibly impressive. I mean, the design by Emiliano Santalucia, sculpted by Hector Arcia again, over there to Mondo, and all the crew, Florian, done the lovely box art. But this is a huge behemoth of a Beastman, and he is very, very, very Beastman. By this, he's very red, and his face is very white, and his eye makeup is very blue. So he's very, and he's in, and he looks like Beastman. I am overall happy with the design, but this is one of those ones where a little bit like Trap Joe, where there's just one or two things where I'm just like, I would have preferred this and that and the other. I do think he should be a little bit smaller, because everything is very bulky in him. The armor is a very big piece. The spikes are very huge. And it's just all a bit big and unwieldy. And while it looks impressive, it's kind of a bit cluttery as well. I just feel just a little bit of more refinement on this would have been good. But, you know, saying that, he comes with stunning accessories. He comes with, crikey, ton of hands. All the hands you need, basically. Three great head sculpts. One normal head sculpt. One kind of rawr. His kind of face is kind of open. But it's kind of like, it's not just a rawr. It's kind of like he's kind of like saying, or kind of snarling, or kind of expressing. Or, if you want, eating the big leg of lamb that he has, because he does come with actually a big leg of lamb. We assume it's a leg of lamb. I'm going to call it a leg of lamb. It could be a turkey leg. But to me, it looks like it's red meat. So to me, I'm going to go with a leg of lamb, or maybe one of the, a beast, whatever the beasts they have on Eternia. And he comes with a lovely chalice, a drinking chalice. Again, that's straight from the cartoon. In the particular episode, there's a particular episode of the old Filmation where Beastman makes a lot of good facial expressions. It was one of those times where Filmation went a bit wild on their facial expressions and went very Disney with him, and he's there munching away on something and drinking, and it's quite a nice bit of action sequence or animation sequence. He comes with soft goods, a furry loincloth. It's kind of a leather tatty thing. It's great, and it goes over a plastic hard loincloth. It's got a belt that kind of floats over that, which, you know, it's nice. But his legs are too close together. The pelvis should be farther apart, because I would like to get slightly wider stances on him, because everything is very stiff and it's very hard. But the details are through the roof on this guy. He's up, you know, every crease, every wrinkle, every tooth, his tongue, everything. It's all beautifully painted. The armor is really big and chunky. All little bits in there. For those of you who remember the vintage figure, Beastman kind of had a slight gladiatorial vibe, where he had these kinds of vicious-looking knuckle dusters on the back of his hand. They've incorporated this in here. I just wish they would have incorporated it onto a one that had a fist rather than an open hand, because I don't see why you would have a knuckle duster like that just hanging off if you don't have it on a fist.
Well, I could be wrong, but from my vague memory of it, and I was the wrong generation.
You were, Mike, Jeff.
Wasn't he the first one that had mixed media? He had like a fur jacket, didn't he? Or fur... something.
No, Grizzlore. You're confusing him with Grizzlore.
Oh, sorry, my Grizzlore. Bad. Sorry.
Different furry guy. Different furry guy. No, Beastman was an all plastic figure, and it was kind of crazy, because on the inside of the armor back in the day, the sculptors would put little things and things like one sculptor put like the peace symbol on the inside of his shield. It was just subtly in there, but they made it like a weebly, a detail instead, you know. But this is Beastman, and what else does he come with? All right, he comes with the chalice and the leg of lamb. He comes with a movie blaster, which is a very cool thing. Now, for anyone who's paying attention to the movie designs, it's lovely. It's very screen accurate, and it's very Beastman, because it has a dangly thing from it. It's got Predator vibes, the gun as well, which is quite cool. The whip is amazing on this guy. It's an all-wire whip, and it doesn't look like an all-wire whip. It is exquisitely sculpted, where it looks like a real piece of rope, or a real piece of kind of leathery rope, but it bends in all the directions. It is extremely, extremely impressive. And he comes with his movie sword, which is, again, it's just a really cool thing to get. I love them throwing into the designs. If you're collecting Master Universe Mondos, you kind of have to get him. I believe he's sold out now in the store. I don't know if there's even a standard version of. I got the deluxe one, or I don't even know if there was. They usually do two versions. There's like two versions of it. Like, they released a Rogue recently as well, which I'm also getting, and they did two versions of that. And they just finished closing up on Tila. So get in there on Tila, guys, if you kind of can. By the time this podcast comes out, I dare say Tila will probably be, you know, the window will be closed by now. But this is the Beast Man, and you have to have him. I think he's brilliant. I'm not, like, overly warm, because there's a few things I kind of like. I just wish he was a little bit smaller, and just some of the proportions were just a little bit better, because he's incredibly, incredibly top-heavy. And, you know, he's quite difficult to stand in certain things, but he comes at a good white base now, so all Mondo figures are coming at a good base. And there you go, Mondo Beastman. We got Tila coming next, and hopefully by the time next time you hear my voice in this podcast, we're going to have Bob Fulkerson on Mondo. Jeff and Mike are going to go away because they don't like He-Man, because they've got really bad taste, the two of them. They're awful people because they don't like He-Man. So I'm going to get Pixel Dan, Ted Biaselli, and we're going to get Bob Fulkerson from Mondo on. So everyone who's all of you people out there who love Master Universe, and I know there's probably two of you out there, join us on that next episode for that. But there you go, guys, Mondo Beastman. And I know you got Prince Adam recently, didn't you, Mike? And you really liked him, didn't you? You liked the Mondo.
Yeah, just so you know, Bob's going to be very mad at you that I'm not there.
Really?
Bob and I go way back. We were at a con not too long ago down there in Ohio. And he was talking about how we're the last of the old men. We're the old guard.
You are welcome to come on, Mike. But it's a He-Man thing. We are going to be going nuts on it, dude. We're going to be talking about the Revelation and everything. So
the thing about He-Man is, it's like I said, it's one of those things you had to be. It's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
it
was the right age.
Whatever else
right
you want to mention, it was a window in time, and you have to be into it. And you know, there's no two ways about it. He-Man is the worst name for a property on this planet ever.
It is, but
it's just true.
But
it's just true.
You know, I did. Speaking of breakage and breaking your heart, I do have the Mondo Merman, he fell off the shelf. I was screwing
he's
around.
Got,
with
he's
him.
Got weak ankles.
Fault.
That Mondo Merman. Oh, go on.
It was my fault. I was messing around with him. I wasn't paying attention, and it knocked him off the shelf and broke his hip.
Oh,
I was so pissed. Dude. So now I got to figure out a way to fix it.
Like how bad is the like? Is it fixable at all in any way? Do you think?
Well, it may be if I can get some. If I use some epoxy resin, I may be able to.
Tell you something that saved my life a couple of times in the past is a double-ended screw.
Yeah,
you know, if you can find a good point in the joint, the way you can get drill in lightly with a fine drill. Put one end of the double-ended screw in and then do the other end and twist it. And if there's enough purchase, that can sometimes fix the day.
There you go, Mike. Well, there you go, folks. We give tips here. We give DIY tips here on the Hot Toy Cast. Well, thank you very much, Mike Crawford. Thank you for joining me. Jeff Parker, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. There you go. And
As always.
If there's all the photographs, many of the photographs that you can follow me on Instagram, but also make sure you go to mwctoys.com. Also check out Mike's YouTube channel. Mike, what's your YouTube channel again?
Well, they'll find it under MWC Toys, or they can find it under CIOPCC.
There you go. You got to say
the Crawford Institute of Pop Culture Collectibles. Let's remember, how many DTOFs did you say you had? Seven?
I've got yeah.
Just so you know, I did a calculation to have the same square footage of display space as the Institute has. I would need 355 DTOFs.
And let's face it, they've stopped selling them.
Yeah, they have stopped selling, but
I have a lot of storage.
I managed to get these details from my two. I got two details from Mondo. I drove down to Bournemouth. A friend of mine, Dan. Hey, Dan, took me down to Bournemouth, and I bought these two details with fitted lights, anti-dust things. The lights are hidden behind little panels, all for £200. And I'm delighted. Nice. I'm so happy with it. But there you go. I digress. Check me on Instagram. Well, even on Instagram.
One other thing I'll throw in. Obviously, because time's always against us, and I just covered Star Wars today. One other figure I did pick up. Really, I'm not going to go into detail, but is the Hot Toys Buzz
Lightyear? Yes. We'll save it for next one, Jeff.
Oh my god! Yeah, I'll save for the next one.
Yeah, because I'm genuinely interested in it. I do like that figure.
Loving it. It's just so much fun.
Well, there you go. All right, guys. Well, if you have any questions at all, please follow me on Instagram, Eamon_, or on Twitter, Eamon_. I'm Eamon on Facebook as well. Mike Crawford is nwctoys.com. Check my on YouTube, and you can email us here at eamonart.com to find out. You know, give us any questions like or suggestions or anything like. But, you know, we're going to let you go away now, boys and girls. Have a lovely evening. And as with all high-end action figures, do hand yourself a care out there. It's a scary world. All right. Good night, folks. Thanks for joining me, Mike and Jeff. See you later, guys.
Cheers. Bonsoir.
There you go. Nice one, chaps.